You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
It's a large oil painting based on my family and the upbringing I had in Alice Springs. It was Catholic and we had a lot of that sort of imagery. So I'm using like those sort of familiar visual traditions and reworking them and changing them. Talk about what's happening in Australia for the past few decades, especially in relation to Aboriginal people.
You want to portray pressures such as the Northern Territory intervention policies and the effects of colonialism in the contemporary era. Won't come more timely than these very few, because these very few days we've been celebrating Mabo Week, talking about Terra Nullius, and this is reflected in your artwork.
Based on the St. George visual narrative, that's part of the Christian tradition, and then it seeped into the secular imagery, so it's used a lot on money and things like that as well. And basically that's a story of a foreign soldier who goes into a township community, slays a dragon, which has always been since antiquity a symbol of evil and the enemy, and then takes possession of the city, quite literally. Looking at the intervention, the sort of demonization of Aboriginal communities and families, that was used as the excuse to send in not only military but also mandatory sort of policing. Not all communities wanted mandatory police stations, and also wind back the Racial Discrimination Act and then start changing the sort of Land Rights Act legislation. And all those pressures are coming to a head now, especially with the global warming and the pandemic. They're looking at the government now and talking about gas being the sort of pathway forward away from coal. But of course, that means a lot more fracking, and he's just been opened up to fracking. A lot of that land that was looking to be fracked, has started to be fracked, is available because of Aboriginal people being pushed off their homelands and communities from the intervention policies.
And why choose the very powerful Christian iconography? Some would say it's sacrilegious what you did there.
Because it is so familiar. They are really, I think they're quite beautiful images. In their format, and they are so familiar. They're like a simplified type of imagery, but they also convey a lot of drama and meaning. So I just thought they were a really good visual device for these issues. I mean, I'm not religious, but I think they're useful for that familiarity and the sort of weight they have behind them. So I've taken out the patriarchal figure and replaced it with Aboriginal woman as the hero and the protagonist of the work,
Yeah, but she can be viewed as either a hero or a rampaging soldier on foreign land, depending on which perspective you take.
So you can look at it like that. It's interesting, they have different readings, so that's part of the artwork. I think these sort of traditions are what sort of spurned superhero ideas now and pop culture and things like that. The hero has always been this sort of warrior between two worlds sort of idea, the hero's journey and all that sort of thing. So you could look at it like that, but I think there's enough sort of positivity, at least the colloquial positivity in it, that it's more clear that the hero. But that's the idea I'm playing with, because again, Aboriginal people have been demonized, particularly with the intervention policies, to get that push through. I remember when I was a teenager, Mal Brass was on the TV saying pedophile rings operating out of every single Aboriginal community. And how that's logistically even possible, I don't know. But I remember that was barely questioned. That's just assuming these Aboriginal people are so inhuman, that they would do that to their own families. And of course, as the years have rolled on, that was founded to be wholly untrue, It is that push and pull, is that hero identity, and there's the demonization as well.
So, in a way, who manages the narrative? I remember when the intervention is going about in the media, day and night. It was just this disastrous portrayal of the indigenous communities, and which made the intervention feel like a justified thing for mainstream communities who didn't know.
Yeah,
people would have just thought, wow, these communities, how do they even, is it even human to be living like that?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like a reversal you're doing there, just showing the narrative in a, from a different perspective. From a, for a lay person who is not very knowledgeable in indigenous art, but this is very, very unique.
I didn't grow up with that traditional sort of style medium, you know. I grew up away from any sort of on-country experience. I grew up in the south side of Battle Springs, and we moved to south side of Brisbane.
Yeah.
And my, what I received was essentially the culture of dispossession. Like, so, like, income, my own family had experiences with the alcoholism and the justice system, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Always knew I was Aboriginal and all that sort of thing. My family, prominent Aboriginal family in Alice Springs. But it was, yeah, like a contemporary experience, I suppose, with a mix of different influences. So, yeah, I've just sort of, that blended, like I said before, my family, my mum's side, were Lutheran and a Catholic. So I had that sort of experience when I was younger, moving away from that when I was in my older childhood, and sort of what those things all meant, and then, like, just trying to understand society and how things were as they are, and why things were one way for certain groups of people, and why things I experienced happened, and what the process was for that to happen. So, yeah, in the artwork, it's just a wide variety of sort of influences that I've brought together, yeah.
Yeah. Coming to a question that I believe would probably have been even the very first question, why is it very important for you to tell this story of exploitation and mistreatment?
Because it's something I've seen firsthand. Like, I've seen various parts of it, and then I've witnessed even more serious things happen to other people, you know.
Yeah.
It's like Australia's, like, people always talk about being a first world country and a very rich country compared to a lot of other countries with very low population. So there's just still, like, such stark disadvantages for different groups of people, and particularly First Nations, Aboriginal people. And it just really, I'm not comfortable with that at all, you know. Like, that's, it's disgusting the way Aboriginal people are treated at times in this country. And so I make work that, at least in my viewpoints, out these experiences that are sort of looping.
Yeah.
And just I'm trying to just contribute to as best I can to helping and change those sort of ideas and behaviors and actions.
Yeah. We are in a context now of a lot of protest about racism and that. Do you think this would fit in that narrative we are going through at this time?
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot happening with the in America and here. There's the fault lines in our societies are being exposed through these pressures, you know.
Yeah.
And the ongoing troubles and misconceptions and really sort of negative behaviors are being exposed, you know. Yeah, so I mean, totally, like, racism has had such a major play in colonialism and how things are, well, how we find ourselves in the current, you know, situation.
Maybe a final word for you to reset this, to bring out the real message you want to portray about this artwork?
The everyday heroism of people who continue to struggle and make an effort to improve their situation and the situation of people around them, that the odds are often very great, at least can be perceived as great. Strength and beauty of people who push on against that and to and positively contribute to the communities. That's basically what it's about, yeah.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.